We've pulled out all the stops to make it warm this morning. We've got radiators, we've got the heating belting out. So good, I'm glad you appreciate it. We'll be rubbing sticks in a minute at the front here, trying to make it warmer. Penguin Publishers, they've published a book last week called The Curious Jargon of Modern Life. And they're listing in it some of the strange jargon phrases that many of us are familiar with. Often these started in kind of the business world and drift through into everyday language. Phrases we're familiar with, such as things going pear-shaped, when things don't work out, things that are going downhill, or thinking outside the box, thinking beyond my comfort, the way I kind of think about things, thinking in a new and novel way. There's a whole raft, though, of stranger terms you may have heard. Do you know what a salmon day is? Or what happens when you try to boil the ocean? Or when someone says it's like herding cats? Or what about trying to kick a dead whale up a beach? All these phrases. A salmon day is a tough day where you're swimming against the tide. Everyone's against you and you're just having to swim like a salmon jumping upstream. And we've all had days like that. Good one to remember that. Write it down. It's a good one when things are tough. It's a salmon day. Boiling the ocean is where you're doing something that's time consuming, boring, impossible and pointless. We've all had days like that too. Then there's herding cats. That's complaining that others don't want you to try and get them to do something. And it's like trying to get herd cats together. Kicking a dead whale up a beach is soon doing something necessary but hard work. But one of my favorites, which you may have heard or may not, is wake up and smell the coffee. I like that one. I like coffee, that's why. But this morning, my message, if I want to give this, what I'm going to talk about this morning, a title, that's my title for this morning. It's wake up and smell the coffee. It's a way of saying things are changing. There's something in the air. We need to wake up and realize there's an aroma around. We need to wake up and realize something is afoot. Something is changing. And so the message, I believe, from God has for us today, God's word to us is wake up, church, smell the coffee. God's on the move. Things are changing. God is doing something in this place. Now, God is always doing something. I mean, God is the God who intervenes. God is the God throughout the pages of history has intervened. History is littered with examples, with time and time again. God moves, God changes, God interjects. God puts his hand on men, women, on nations, on his body and does something. God intervenes. And that's the God who we love and serve. He's not some deist, some God who's removed, who's far removed. He's some God who stretches out his hand and intervenes. And yet, so that understanding, that awareness can slip from our kind of central vision off somewhere to the side. And we cannot realize that God is wanting to step down from heaven, to intervene, to stretch out his hand and to do something powerful and wonderful and significant. And I believe that that's God's heart for us. It's what God's agenda is for us now, is God is wanting to stretch out his hand and do something. And he's looking for people that are willing to be changed. He's looking for people who will wake up, smell the coffee, realize something's happening, realize it's not just business as usual, realize it's not just the same old, but realize that something is changing, that it's a season of change. And that's our key word this morning, change. Someone once noted that change is inevitable except from vending machines. And it's your experience, but it always happens, you know, you want a can of Coke, you put your pound in, the thing doesn't give you any money back. But change is one of those things, that change happens all the time, Even Mrs. West has to get up with the times and bring her little USB drive with her next week. Because things change. Things aren't the same. Things move on. And God is a God of change. He doesn't change. He expects us to change. If you like math, if you like maths, anyone like maths? Oh, great, somebody like maths. You'll be familiar with the point of inflection. A point of inflection on a curve is when something that was, a curve that was negative just changes subtly and starts to be positive, all the other way around. It's a point of change. It's a very subtle point, but it's a point where everything changes. It's just a tiny little change, and yet at that point, everything changes. God has brought us to a church, as a church, to a point of inflection, a point where things are subtly changing, things are subtly shifting. If we don't see it, we miss it. But it's very significant, it's very important, because what's happening is things are changing from one way to another. And it's a subtle change, and it's a change from one thing to another. But it's a significant thing, because God has now started to do something new. God has started to do something different. And so we've got to go with it, we've got to recognize it. And so our message this morning is, let's recognize what God's doing. It's very exciting because for some time, Nick and I, as leaders in the church, have been praying, Jesus, you are the head of the church. This is your church. You are the head. We are those who are listening to you as the head. And from your head, all your instructions come from your body that makes the whole thing move. Jesus is the head of his church, and so from him, all the instructions about how he wants us and all the other churches to function and to behave and to work and to function, everything flows from him. And so we've been inviting him to do that, and Jesus taking us up on the offer. Now that's a bit scary, because it's nice, it's quite handy to be in control, because then you can keep things kind of safe and contained, and you can kind of pace yourself and kind of be in a bit sort of sense of safety about things. The dangerous but exciting thing of saying, Jesus, you're the head, we want you to be in control, is it puts us in an area where we don't know where we're going, but the head does. Praise God. It's good to know we're in safe hands this morning, and that he will let us know step by step what we need to know so we keep on the track of what he's got for us. That's the reassurance. Let's pray this morning, because we need God to continue to do what he started to do. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have heard our prayers. And Lord, for some time now, we've been saying, Jesus, this is your church. You are the head. Come and take control. Come and lead us. Come and guide us. Come and direct us. Come and move us into what you have for us. Thank you that you've heard our prayers. Thank you that you are coming and you are leading and you are guiding. God, we are nervous, with a holy sense of nervousness, Lord. We are uncertain, with a right sense of expectancy. God, we don't know, but praise God, you do. And so this morning, Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Help each one of us to wake up, smell the coffee, realize what you're doing, hear what you're saying, and move forward with one heart, Lord, to all that you have for us to do, God. Amen. Excuse me. On Friday night, we were praying. We were gathered together praying in Chalk Farm Baptist Church. And many things happened that night as we were praying. We had a wonderful time praying for Judy. Very significant, very powerful time praying for Judy. Another time during that evening, during those hours when we were praying, at another point, someone got up and said, he wasn't part of this church, another church, and got up and said, I feel God speaking through a passage. 5 minutes before she had said that, that very same passage popped into my head. I didn't know where it was in the Bible, actually, exactly where it was. I knew roughly where it was. But that exact same thing got impressed on my heart. So I immediately sort of stood up, swayed myself, thought, wow, God, what are you saying? And Joe felt had exactly the same thing that same day as well. When something, either a prophetic thing or something from the Bible, when God says the same thing a number of times, it's like God underlining it. It's like God saying, look, this is something I want you. If it's just once, it could just be for me. Maybe God just wants to speak to my life, which is fantastic. But when it's something that comes and one person feels, another person, independently you get the same thing, it's like God is saying, there's something here I want you to take note of. And the passage was from, if you've got a Bible, it's from passage Jeremiah, and it's chapter 18, and it's the first six verses there of Jeremiah chapter 18. So if you've got your Bibles there, you might want to turn to it. Now we were praying, we were waiting on God, there was a time of quiet, as we each before God, listening to God, before Him, praying, and suddenly out of the blue, this passage popped into my mind. Not the reference, but the words of the passage just popped into my mind. And I knew God was speaking. I'm just going to read it to you. It's Jeremiah 18, verses 1 to 6. This is the word that came to Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. So whether you've ever been to a potter, whether you've seen a potter, they have that wheel spinning around in front of them, and they throw the clay on, work the clay, making a pot. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And this passage was talking to the people of God in the Old Testament. And it's talking about the sovereignty of God. It's talking about how that God, He is God, and He is the sovereign God, and He does what He likes. And how the people of God are like clay in the potter's hands. That the people of God are so different. The potter and the clay, what a contrast. The clay is artistic. Sorry, the clay. The potter is artistic. The potter has creativity. The potter has the skill. The potter has the foresight. The potter can look down on the clay and can see the best way of working it. The potter knows what to do. That lump of clay is inanimate. It's squidgy. It's slimy. It's smelly. It's blop. Just sits there. Please don't be offended. But you know, we as God's people, we are the clay in the hands of God. I come from Manchester, and we get a lot of rain in Manchester for some reason. We seem to get more than our fair share, I think. And it rains and rains and rains. And the house where I grew up, the soil, you've got about that much soil, and then you hit clay. And so what happens is, of course, when it rains, that water doesn't permeate through clay very well. And so the water falls in the garden and it soaks down through that much soil, then hits the clay and then doesn't go through. So it just builds up in the soil. And so often the garden's flooded. Often it's just a squidgy, horrible mess. And it's the clay doesn't let the water flow. It's just sort of a squidgy stuff blocking the water. It stops it. And clay, so you, as you dig down, you get a bit annoyed with clay, a bit fed up with clay. It's just one of those things that's kind of not valued. And the thing about clay is that all it is, it's just the dust with a bit of water added. You know, often in the Bible, it talks about how we are just dust. We're just made from the earth. And clay, all we are, individually together, is God has taken some elements, a bag of elements. I'm a chemist by training, and the chemicals that go to make you and I up, plus about 70% water, mixed up together, God bungs them together in a certain way, breathes life into it, and there we are, a person. We've got to realize we're just a bag of chemicals that are held together by the grace of God. All we are is a lump of clay. Let's not get ourselves too, you know, proud and educated and thinking ourselves high. There's the potter. He's got the skill. He knows what he's doing. And he can get hold of that lump of clay and he can mold it and he can make it. And God wants to get his hands on our lives together. Because this message here, interestingly, is to the people of God together, corporately. Together we're a lump of clay. But of course that lump of clay is made of lots of bits of clay. And so it comes down to you and I individually as well. But the message of this passage is that God, in his sovereignty, has the right to do what he wants with that lump of clay. And we've got to get that in our hearts. We've really got to get that in our hearts because we have been educated and we've been brought up, and we thank God for education. I've had years and years and years and years of it. Loads and loads of it. University after university of it. But actually, at the end of the day, all we are, relative to God, the infinite, God the all-knowing, God the all-powerful, actually, there's a huge gap between us. And so I'm not putting down education, I'm not putting down intellectual achievements, but actually we've got to get ourselves real when it comes to the gap there is between us and God. And relatively speaking, we are just a lump of clay. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes' time. Not got a clue. God does. We're not all powerful. We can do a few things. Just a few little things. If you're a very able, industrious person, you can do quite a few things. But you're limited. You and I are limited in what we can do. God is all powerful. And God, I believe this morning, wants us to realize that you and I are just a lump of clay before him. To humble ourselves. One of the greatest opponents, I believe, that stops God coming and moving amongst us and doing what he wants, displaying his power and majesty and doing all the things that are on God's heart to do, is my pride, my arrogance, my independence. Because what that does is it separates me from God. Number of times in the scriptures, it says God opposes the proud. Now, that's a frightening situation to be in. If there's pride in my life, if there's pride in your life, the God of the universe is opposed to you and what's happening in your life. It's very serious. Pride is very, very serious. Pride isn't one of those kind of also-ran sins. As far as God sees, look at the scripture, pride is something very, very serious because it puts me in direct opposition to God. The lump of clay rises up and says, I fancy being a porcelain vase, actually. I want to be a fine bone china teacup. What happens is the lump of clay starts to get ideas above its station. When we realize we are just a lump of clay. And so this morning I want to challenge pride in my heart and in your heart. Because one of the things that's going to stop God doing, working in your life, using your life to make it useful for him, is pride. It's one of the things. And so we're up to this morning, I'm not criticizing you or pointing the finger at you. It's us. We're in this together, okay? But I want to challenge and ask you to examine your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please try me, test me, see in my heart, is the pride, is the arrogance, is the independence, is the self-sufficiency, is the I can do it attitude in my heart? If there is, we need to humble ourselves. We need to say, God, help me today. I want to humble myself before you. Here I am, I'm just a lump of clay. And we want to offer ourselves as a lump of clay to God. Because do you notice what happens in the story in Jeremiah is the potter comes, he takes that lump of clay and throws it very skillfully. Potters, if you watch the potter, if you've had a go with pottery, I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. Throws it on the wheel. Hopefully, if you don't get it in the centre, of course, it flies off, hits someone in the face. But hopefully, you get it in the centre. And then the potter gets those hands, wets them and starts, what's that called? Slip, isn't it? The stuff they dip there. But they start to mould it. And there's pressure applied. Some of the things that are happening in your life now that you think are uncomfortable and you don't like, actually, it's pressure from the potter's hands. By the mercy of God, there's the slip there, the love of God, just to make it bearable possible, get you through it. But some of the things that we're fighting against and saying, I don't like this, I don't want it in my life, actually, it's the potter, and he's just wanting to change the shape of the pot. So we need to say to God today, God, open my eyes, open the eyes of my heart, that I can see the person at work that really bugs me, the difficult family situation, that financial pressure, this relationship issue, whatever it is, this thing where there's pressure in my life, open my eyes and see, God, what are you doing in this circumstance? What are you doing? Are you trying to mold me? Are you trying to change me? Am I resisting you? Am I being a stubborn piece of clay? Am I being a hard, lumpy bit of clay? God, open my eyes to see what you're doing. Because once God does that, once we see what God's doing, it changes the whole perspective. It changes those difficult circumstances. And so we see what, and we can allow ourselves to be malleable in the hands of the potter. We can allow ourselves to be, rather than resisting it, gritting our teeth and fighting against those difficult circumstances, rather than seeing that person which is giving us a hard time as just thinking bad thoughts about them and praying that God would do horrible things to them, whatever you pray. Not really. Whatever, that you can say, God, oh God, I see what you're doing. You're wanting to change me. God, please, I welcome. Bring it on, God. Bring it on. Bring on that change, oh God. Make me be malleable this morning, God. Make me be soft before you. Sorry, God, for being so hard. Sorry for being a difficult lump of clay in your hands. What happened in Jeremiah 18 is the pot got, the clay got marred, messed up. Now we mess up. Sometimes people mess up our lives. Someone comes and does something, says something, messes us up. Sometimes we mess up. It's our fault. Actually, in the passage, it's not clear why the pot's marred, but the pot is marred. But you see what happens then? What the potter doesn't do is doesn't bang his fist down, grab that piece of clay and chuck it in the bin and say, that's miserable, useless piece of clay. Start again. By the grace of God, when it's marred, he looks at it and starts to work again. And if there are areas of our lives today where we've been messed up, other people have messed us up. Other people have done things, said things, done things unkind, harsh, difficult, and messed up our lives, and we feel unjust. We feel, God, it's been so, what this person's done. Or we've made mistakes and we've done things, deliberately disobeying God, deliberately doing things wrong, deliberately messing up our lives. The potter doesn't scrape the clay off the wheel. Instead, puts his hand back in the slip and starts to work again on the pot, changing it, molding it, making it. See, what the potter's doing, he's looking to make something useful. At the end of the day, the potter wants to end up with something that's useful. In terms of how God sees things useful. See, God wants to take my life, the kind of blob of it, mold it and make it into something that can be useful for him. That God can place his power inside. God can place his glory inside. God can place his love and his goodness inside. But I can hold that in such a way that it overflows and touches the lives of many, many people. God wants different shaped containers. Thankfully, we're not all the same. We're such a variety of people. But God wants to work in my life to make something which isn't useful into something that is useful. And so whatever you bring to the party, as it were, to God, basically you're just a lump of clay. Remember that. It's only as God molds and makes and changes and forms the shape he wants, as he pushes and pushes and squeezes between his hands, through work situations, through family situations, through difficult relationships, and through squeezes with money and different things like that. As we yield to those, the potter starts to make something which starts to look good. And as he squeezes and molds and makes, he makes the pot, but then he stands back. They get that wire, don't they, and put the wire underneath and pull it to get to cut underneath the clay that's been on the wheel. Pull it off, and then they take the pot and carefully put it there. And it's finished. And in one sense, we're never finished. But in another sense, there's a working in our lives until we become useful to God. And what God's looking is for individuals and a church that's useful. I believe God's looking around London thinking, where is there a church that's useful? Where is a church that's allowed me to mold and to make and to change it so that I can place my power and my glory? Where is the church where there isn't pride and arrogance and independence and things that in people's hearts that are against God? God's looking. And my prayer is that God would look upon us and say, and God would come and visit me, visit us, that we together would be this useful vessel. And I believe the message God has for us today is, will you, as an individual, will us together as a church, will we allow God to so mold us, to so make us, to so change us, that in fact he can come and place his glory and his power in our lives? I wanted to be really honest with you today, because I think there are things in my life and your life at the moment that God wants to change. That God is in the changing business. He's the potter, he's got the clay, and he wants to do something. Now, we may not be aware of that. We may think, well, you know, things are pretty sweet, actually. Things are pretty good. But the word that God's been speaking to us through Revelation 3, the passage in Revelation 3 of these past weeks, the word in those passages are you don't realize your condition as a church. It was a message to a church. You don't realize your condition. You think you're fine when actually you're not. Now, I'm not saying this today to criticize you or any individual or put myself down. It's together. It's us. God wants us to realize, in fact, we're not fine. That in fact, there's a whole load of work that God wants to do. And so it's no good be saying, well, God, could you, I'll let you just kind of, you know, paint the edges or just kind of tweak this bit here. God wants the whole lump or nothing. God wants everything. That passage in Revelation chapter 3 we've been looking at, it says there, I want you to be boiling hot, not lukewarm, not a bit, not kind of give me a bit of area of your life. But God says, I want everything. Over these last months, I have been so challenged, I think personally challenged, more than at any time I can remember past seasons of my life. Where God's saying, this area of your life and this area of your life and this area of your life, God was saying, I don't want you to do these things anymore. I don't want you to think about those things anymore. There's been a process, and I feel like I'm this pot. I think God is taking me and us all together on a journey. In a year's time, this church is not going to look like it does now. I absolutely believe that, because God is moving us forward, changing us. And that's very unsettling. It's very uncertain. We do not know what's going to happen. But we do know that we're in safe hands. We do know that we can look up to the potter and say, God, the wonderful, wonderful potter, change any area of my life, anything. That's a very bold prayer to pray, that is. Because if you pray that, God might just do that in any area of your life. And yet there's no other prayer to pray. Because how could we stand before the potter and say, don't touch these areas of my life, God. You can have this little bit here. Now, wherever you're up to in your before God, what we can do is this morning we can cry out to God. And we can say, God, open the eyes of my heart so I can see how I really am. That's another dangerous prayer, but a very important prayer. Because not that God wants to put us down or realize how miserable we are, but so that we can realize how things really are and we want change. You see, if I'm happy with how things are, I won't want change. I'll only be willing to really make serious changes in my life if I realize it's worth it and it's important and God's saying it. And so I'm asking you this morning just to pray along with me as I'm praying. God, come, Holy Spirit, and change us. You see, we're in a season of prayer as a church, individual prayer and corporate prayer, prayer together. And the reason for that is God wants us to realize, as we're before him in his presence, as we're carving out extra time for God just before him, it allows us to realize before God, firstly, that we're just clay. Secondly, that God has a vision and a purpose. And also, it imparts to us the grace to change. And also, it's saying before God, God, we can't do it. With our own effort and intelligence and gifts, it's not enough. It's not enough. We need you to come and to fill us and to give us what we need. Your glory, your power, filling our lives so we could be useful to you. Let's stand up this morning. Oh God, wonderful God, wonderful God. Lord, Lord God, Lord God, Lord God, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lord, when you spoke those words through Jeremiah, Lord, when you spoke to the house of Israel, Lord, you were expressing your sovereignty and right to do exactly as you want with that clay. And Lord, today we know that the relevance for us as your people here in the New Testament now, in the church, Lord, God, we know the relevance to us, that, Lord, we are your people. And God, we want it together to say that, Lord, we recognize that we are just clay and that you are the potter. God, God. I just feel as we're before God this morning, that it's important, as you feel led and as you feel able, I'm not twisting your arm to do this because it's a personal thing and you do it as you want to do it, but that it's very powerful to put down before God our goals, our dreams, our aspirations, the things we want to do, the things we have on our hearts, the priorities, the plans that we have, to lay them down before God and say, oh God, I'm just the clay. You are the potter. You see, the things that are from God, God will take and bring about. And the things that are just our own ideas, we can drop and leave. So just as we're before God this morning, would you do that? Would you allow the Holy Spirit just to search your heart, search our heart together? Come, Spirit of God, come, Holy Spirit amongst us. Search us. Look into our hearts this morning. Lord, where have we got pride in our hearts? Where have we got plans and schemes and things we want to do? God, where have we made plans that are our own plans? Come, show us, reveal, open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. just as we're before God now, we're going to ask that you would that just take each one of those things and lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Saying, Jesus, I put this down. Lord, I want your plans instead. I want your will. I want what you've got for me instead. Oh God. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Come, Holy Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Come, Holy Spirit of God. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, reveal your love. Pour your love out upon us. Thank you. Some of us have been bringing our plans before God, asking him to bless them. It's like we've been showing our plans to God as we prayed, saying, God, these are great plans. Please bless them. Please do what I'm asking you to do. Amen. And I feel this morning God wants us just to put those down. Schemes, plans, things we've even been praying about. And just saying, God, God, I give you a clean sheet. I give you a clean piece of paper to write on my heart your plans, your priorities, the things you've got for me to do. God, have my job, my house, my family, relationships, money. Lay them all down, God, this morning before you. And God, I repent of telling you what to do in these areas. I repent of bringing my own ideas and asking you just to bless them. God, oh God. I know it's hard to think of yourself as a lump of clay, but this morning just place yourself in the potter's hands. See those warm, caring, accepting, powerful, perfect hands of God. Oh, hallelujah. And place yourself in those hands and say, God, mold my life into anything you want it to be. Whatever you want it to be, as long as it's useful for you, I don't mind what it's like. As long as it's useful for you, God. Spirit of God, come. Come. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come. Spirit of God, come. Come. Lord, Lord, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. 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 Lord God. Lord God. Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, 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 Lord. If you're aware that there's areas of your life that are marred, messed up, spoiled. Other people have spoiled them, or you've spoiled them. Then give those into the potter's hands. Give those areas of your life into the hands of the potter and say, oh, Father, Heavenly Father, come and remake, come and mold. Come and make something useful and beautiful out of what's messed up and spoiled. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We're going to have a time now just to continue before God. If you, Mark is going to minister in music and worship. If you just want to stay before God or join in the worship, whatever you feel you want to do. But let's respond. We've got a few moments before the children come back in. And let's do some business with God. Pouring out our hearts to Him. Listening to Him. Being honest with Him. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus.